Sadly, one of the downsides of the coronavirus pandemic has been the increase in demand to food banks and charities. We met up with Lewis McLachlan, who set up Empty Kitchens Full Hearts a few months ago. This is a movement of volunteer chefs responding to the crisis, cooking great food for delivery or collection by those in need. Every meal is provided free of charge. And here we are at Leith Theatre at the beginning of a busy week. This is the Edinburgh Reporter podcast, and this morning I'm in the very busy hub of Empty Kitchens Full Hearts with
Lewis McLachlan.
Lewis, what's your role here?
So I'm the founding director. So at the start of lockdown, or just before, I saw a real issue between increased food insecurity and a really underutilised and undervalued hospitality industry, and saw the use of that potential with the amount of food waste that we've generated to put those together and use it to tackle food insecurity in Edinburgh.
You've got loads of food here that looks to me as if it's come from major supermarkets.
So we collect through all the different major supermarkets kind of own food waste rescue systems. Each one of them, or the majority of them, each have their own individual partner that they peer through, and we've managed to get signed up for pretty much all of them now. So we collect from a couple of dozen stores over Edinburgh. We also get donations from different industry suppliers from within the hospitality sector, and individuals as well dropping off even stuff from the gardens, or they will go out to the supermarket, buy a bag of rice or a bag of onions and drop it off.
I wanted to ask you about the supermarket produce. Do you have to go and get that, or do they bring it to you?
Yes, we need to collect that. So one of our volunteer roles is driving or cycling around Edinburgh, usually in the evening, to collect all the things that the supermarkets haven't been able to sell or won't be able to sell. It can be anything from, you know, meat that's on its last day to, you know, a bag of apples. The carton's broken, so all of a sudden they can't sell it. So those six apples are going to go in the bin, whereas we can use them. They're perfectly fine, perfectly edible, perfectly safe, but no one wants to buy the bag of apples that's got a hole in it. So.
And when I came in the door here at the Thomas Morton Hall, I saw some beautiful flowers. That's lovely that you have flowers to give out to people too.
Yeah, for sure. So obviously they're also pinned with a use-by date, so they get put in with the food donations. We get to give them out to some clients. We give them to our volunteers as well, just as a thank you. Some of our volunteers are donating up to 40 hours a week for totally for free. And genuinely, I say we couldn't do it without them, but they are Empty Kitchens Full Hearts. We couldn't do it without each other.
So whatever we can do. Take me through a little bit and show me what some of the enterprise. We've passed the logistics hub, which is at the entranceway here. And then all around us here, you have vegetables and oil and all sorts of produce here.
Yeah, for sure. So take
me a little further into the operation.
For sure. So I think probably most people think is it's just tins of food and mouldy veg. But as you can see, we've got quite a mountain of fresh fruit and vegetables. And this is on Monday, so we've not actually collected anything over the weekend. A lot of our fresh fruit and veg comes directly from the Fairshire Depot on Jane Street. They've been absolutely fantastic. I really doubt without them we'd been able to really pull off the numbers that we've managed to pull off. Obviously the food system, I think we've all maybe become slightly more aware of how subject to change it is. Seeing people getting in fistfights in car parks over bags of pasta and toilet roll just a couple of months ago. There's now, you know, mountains upon mountains of pasta sitting in warehouses because it was quickly churned out as it can be.
But you've got a lot of tinned food here, which is presumably going to be used. Some of those big tins are going to be used in cooking. And who have you got doing the cooking?
Can we go? For sure. So let's go through to the kitchen. Okay. So initially, so I'm a chef by trade. So the first kind of kitchen brigade that we had was friends of mine, but by the most part, a good number of them have managed to stay through. Nikita, who you met there, started in the kitchen. She's been a chef with me for about 8 years or so, but she's kind of looking to maybe transition into an office role, so we've taken her out of the kitchen and managed to train her up on some admin to try and give her a chance to broaden our CV and get a real chance of getting into a proper role.
So this is a good organisation for the people who volunteer as well.
Absolutely. So we've had, so with the kitchen today, we've got Dylan and Jenna, who have both started fairly recently. We've got John Boy, who's volunteer number 002. Me and John used to work together in Prestonfield, so he was there from day one. And Bruce in the back as well, so he's been there since week one as well. Initially putting in 5 days a week, now he's managed to get back into work, but he's still doing 2 days a week on top of his full-time job.
So can I ask what's on the menu today? Are you making food making food for tomorrow?
This is garden vegetable soup.
Oh, lovely. Is this for today or for tomorrow?
So the way that we've got to retain, because we send out all of our packs for the day at 11, so they'll be preparing the food for tomorrow now. The evening packing crew will pack that tonight. And then the AM crew tomorrow will just get it into the bags and send it out.
How many people do you actually have volunteering?
So we've got around 40 or so in the kitchen rota. We've got another 150 or so in the packing and driving, and then another 10 that help with logistics. We've had probably somewhere in the region of 300 or 400 volunteers pass through since we started.
Some of those must have gone back to work now.
So a large number have managed to go back to work or start a new job, which has been fantastic. Unfortunately, we've also had a large number that have been made redundant. Some have had to, you know, move back home as a result of changing financial situations. Some have managed to still kind of pick up shifts piecemeal. We've been really, really fortunate, at the very least, I see more in the kitchen, where we've had clients come to us who do a hot service for lunch and dinner, and quite a lot of chefs are not a particularly affluent socioeconomic group by the most part, so we're actually quite close to the cracks despite working in something that would be described as a luxury industry. So we've had 3 or 4 chefs now who have come to us as clients. We've built up a rapport with the servers, you know, revealed that they're chefs, asked if they can help in any way, and then ended up in the kitchens. And from those 3 or 4, all but one of them we've now managed to kind of help get into a new job.
That's great. And tell me about the people who come here then for lunch. It's breakfast, lunch and dinner you do, isn't it?
So our two products are the day packs, which is a breakfast, lunch, dinner and a snack. So those are the ones that we send out to all over Edinburgh every day.
And how do you know where to send them? Are they people who refer
Those are self-referrals, third sector referrals and government referrals as well. One thing that maybe sets us aside from other organisations is that we don't means test our clients. We view that if someone in 2020 in one of the top 20 wealthy cities in the world is coming to us and saying that they need help accessing safe food, that's enough proof for us. It's enough. It's, you know, there's so much stigma around it. We don't want to make anyone feel that they've got to jump through hoops to get a portion of porridge, soup and a main.
And then can somebody just turn up and get some lunch or some supper?
When we moved down to Leith initially for our second site on Old Dr. Bell's Baths, we realised very quickly that we were in a community that had a lot of people that didn't have regular safe access to an address, to even a microwave or any kind of kitchen facilities. So we started to set up the hot service. We do a lunchtime on Leith and a tea time at the theatre now. So from 11:30 to 12:30 we do lunch, which will just be a hot soup, bread, a little bit of a free shop with that, and any kind of sandwiches that we've got donated from the day before. And then for dinner, likewise, it'll be stovies, stews, frittatas, try and put in salads and stuff like that as well. So anyone can show up for that. We do around 100 lunches and dinners each day. And again, it gives some people almost the only positive interaction that they get from that day. Obviously, everyone's more isolated than they've ever been. And, you know, lockdown lifting isn't as good for everyone as you'd think. You know, it doesn't really make a massive difference to the people that are now very isolated.
How are you paying for this, Lewis?
We've run 3 or 4 different crowdfunders now through either social media or on crowdfunder website. We've received some very generous donations from individuals and a couple of different corporates, but ultimately it is very tight. A lot of the time we're churning out 500 packs a day, so 1,500 meals plus another 100 for the hot service. However, because the way that we've designed our system, using a lot of food excesses and surpluses, we're incredibly cost efficient. So a lot of other organisations that are doing similar provisions were saying that it would cost £2 for a meal, even £5 for a meal, whereas we'll do three. One of our day packs costs around 30-35p, plus the delivery for us, which, so, you know, for £3.50 you can cover someone three meals a day for an entire week.
That's amazing. That's so, and you've done, by the end of July, you had done over 100,000 meals for people. You've done an amazing job here since the beginning of lockdown. How do you see it progressing now?
Well, unfortunately we can't really see an end in sight. The issues around food insecurity in Edinburgh are not new, and they've only been exacerbated by the COVID crisis. We then see the economic impacts are going to make that even worse. And issues around food waste are not going away either. So we're able to keep combining those. And as the hospitality industry and many others go into an unprecedented period of uncertainty, we see that all of our components are still effectively still issues that need to be fixed. My key aspiration is that I get a phone call from, you know, an MSP or a councillor saying, Lewis, you can pack up and go home, we've figured it out, we're going to do this, we're going to utilise some of the hundreds of kitchens across Scotland that are government owned and the thousands of cooks that we've had sitting on furlough and start to take care of the population. However, I've been told that that might be a bit of a pipe dream.
It's not going to happen, I'm afraid. Yeah. And finally, I wanted to ask you about being here at Leith Theatre, because we're actually in the Thomas Morton Hall. Are you actually using the theatre itself, or are you just really using this hall and the area outside?
So yeah, so we're containing ourselves just now to the Thomas Morton Hall. As you can see, we've got plenty of space for the packing. The kitchen is great. We've managed to bring in loads of donated equipment and loaned equipment, and really kind of turned it into something that it's not been for a long time. The Leith Theatre have been great hosts, and yeah, for now we've got everything we need in terms of space.
What do you need then?
Well, we need volunteers and we need continued funds. We're bracing now for what's probably going to be one of the toughest winters in living memory economically, and we're committed to trying to help as many people as we can. We're doing 500 people a day, 500-600 people a day, but last year alone there was 3,000 applications for homelessness, so we know that, you know, as big as we've grown, it's still just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to food insecurity in Edinburgh. And we're needing more volunteers, or even if people are wanting to get involved in their own area, just reach out to us, and yeah, we'll try and keep Edinburgh fed for as long as we can.
For listening to the Edinburgh Report. Listen out for more episodes coming soon, and make sure you don't miss any by hitting the subscribe button now. This is one of the platforms where we can help advertise your business to our listeners. Would you like to know more about that? Then email editor@theedinburghreporter.co.uk. And remember, you can subscribe to have our monthly newspaper delivered to you direct. Sign up today on our website, www.theedinburghreporter.co.uk.